Is your website pretty?
Mind your business.
Does it work right?
Mind your business.
Can people find it?
You got what I need.
Mind your business.
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Well, welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you for listening to us however you do it. We're just glad you're listening. And thank you for tuning in to this special gaming edition of our podcast with our special guest, Mind's own back-end programming specialist, Andy Mull. Andy, welcome to the podcast.
It's about time you drag me on here.
It is. It is. and you know... Yeah, I joke about dragging him on here because, I mean, he is our resident gaming expert. He's humble about it, but I finally roped him into coming in here and giving his top five video game picks for 2016. And I have to give a little backstory here on this. You've put up with me for at least the last 6-7 years.
Something like that, because mine's been around since 2010.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun, but when you're not, you know, you lose track of it, right? No. No, I joke about that. I've known you.
It is scarily accurate, though. Yeah.
One of the things I learned about you, because again, with all due respect, I remember when I first put my desk in the Mind office, and you would be you're sitting there writing code. You're like zoned in, and I'm hearing this music coming out of your headphones because you listen to it. You listen to your music as loud as I listen to my death metal in my headphones, and it's like, and it sounded like gaming music. And I found out that some of it actually was gaming music, and I'm fascinated with that because we all have our different interests. Mm-hmm. And then here recently, I ask you, hey Andy, have you ever heard of K-pop? And the only reason I know about K-pop is my oldest daughter, Katie, introduced me to K-pop over Thanksgiving holidays. And when I asked you, do you know what K-pop is? What was your answer?
Well, yeah, it's Korean pop music.
Yeah. It's like Korean boy bands. Uh-huh. And it's actually catchier than the American boy bands.
Which is scary because I can't even make out the syllables they're saying, let alone knowing the language to know the words.
No. Well, what we're talking about with Andy today on this week's podcast is we're coming down to the end of the year, and we're talking games. And given that we get to the end of the year, and it's time to have a kind of an end of the year wrap-up podcast, what are the best games of the year? I thought I'd get Andy on here to give his picks, his best picks for 2016. For games. So what we're talking about this week is the best games of 2016, and I don't know jack about this. I mean, the most recent game console I have is Sony PlayStation 2 because I really love the ESPN NFL 2K4, and yeah. I've not really progressed beyond there. So
well, that was a good one. That's been
12 years ago though.
Yeah, but that was the one that scared Electronic Arts into getting the exclusive license so that 2K couldn't continue making them.
Oh, wow. I did not realize that. Yeah. That was awesome. I got to a point where, my favorite team is the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans, who have never won a Super Bowl. So I've won several dozen Super Bowls with them in this game, which is very gratifying. Because I got to know the playbook so well to where I could do defensive changes and mess with the computer, you know, whatever team that was being represented, and just demolish them. And it felt good, even though it's fake. So anyway, but I digress. So for 2016,
your
best games.
I don't know if I'd call these objectively best,
your
but they're definitely
games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely the ones that sucked the most time. Definitely the ones that caught my attention and held it the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, I would have to give to Project Cars. Because
wow.
unfortunately, I am a racing nerd in a big way. I don't follow the professional drivers like I used to, because a lot of the series now are falling to one or two dominant teams, and it's more interesting watching who's racing for fifth off camera than who's racing for the win, because you know who's going to win.
Ah, true.
Which is sad, because some of those used to be so much fun to watch, so edgy your seat. But last year, when tax time came, I finally made the plunge. I picked up a full-on racing wheel rig.
Wow. How was that? Is it fun? Time suck?
Expensive, hard on the muscles, because it had force feedback on it. It fights you every step of the way, and I just didn't have the upper body strength for it anymore. I sit behind a desk and crank code. It's not like I'm out lifting weights for a living. But hands down, it is the prettiest and most nerve-wracking racing sim I've ever played.
Wow.
Hands down.
It's very real.
Yeah, the detail is incredible, both in terms of looks and in terms of driving feel. And it has its headaches. It was made by a smaller company. It was their first... No, I don't want to say that, because I can't confirm it. I don't have the facts in front of me. I think it was one of their first self-published entities,
mm-hmm.
or even that might not be the best way to put it, because they created this in-house crowdfunding platform. They called it World of Mass Development, and that's how they paid for the game, and then I think a publisher did pick it up to push it to various systems later. And yeah, it's got its headaches. The AI is a little easy to overstimulate. Like, it's really, really bad in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
You put this thing in 3-wide, 4-wide LA gridlock, and yeah, you've got 3-wide, 4-wide LA gridlock. The number of times I've had to panic and go straight into the grass because one of the AIs was playing like a kid on Xbox, mm-hmm. honestly. Came in way too late, way too fast. No way it was going to get the thing stopped in time. No way it was going to get the thing turned in time. And only through checking my mirror at the right moment did I realize that this thing's going to impale me if I don't get out of its way. Which, of course, means going into the wall myself.
Gotta love those real graphics. So what about number four?
Number four I'd have to give to Carmageddon Max Damage.
Carmageddon Max Damage.
Yes. Carmageddon Max Damage. Actually, one of the ones released this year, surprisingly enough.
Wow.
Project Cars is about 2 years old now. Some of the others are a year or two old. But this one was fresh. This one was this year. It is, for all intents and purposes, and this is a really bad video game joke, really bad anime joke, the final form of Carmageddon Reincarnation.
Wow.
Which was one they put on Kickstarter 5 years ago. After a bunch of employees of the studio bought the rights back from the publisher out of their own pockets.
Put them on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's...
And it's...
I love hearing Kickstarter stories.
This is not one of the best Kickstarter stories out there.
Oh, it's not?
It is not.
Oh, wow. That's...
Because it raised a ton of money, and everything looked like it was going good. Yeah, it was kind of poorly optimized when they first released it for the early access type deal, because they wrote the engine in-house,
mm-hmm.
but they have had so many problems with fulfilling the memorabilia, the physical goodies, the mm-hmm. shirts, the posters. They canceled the die-cast cars in favor of a comic book, stuff like that, to where 5 years later we're still waiting for them. And I say we because I was one of those boneheads that kicked in $150 or more. So it's definitely a contentious Kickstarter tale, but the game came out fantastic. It's got a lukewarm critical reception because it's one of those things that professional reviewers are always staying on top of industry trends and industry evolutions and things like that. And this most certainly hasn't. It is still every bit what its predecessors were. It is over the top. It's kitschy. It's crazy. It's... For lack of any better term, and I know you'll get the reference, yes, this is an old joke.
Okay.
It was shamelessly inspired by Death Race 2000.
Okay. Yeah.
just so you know where they're coming from here. Here's a car, go race in this dystopian world. By the way, if you splatter pedestrians, you get bonuses.
Well, there's just so much love to go around.
And it's just, it is so absurd and so over the top and everything the predecessors were. And, yeah, the professionals don't, the professional reviewers really don't like it because it hasn't grown. It hasn't evolved mm-hmm. that much since the early ones.
But maybe that wasn't the point.
Maybe that wasn't the point. I mean, the early ones are really old now. The first one launched in 97. The direct prequel to these two launched in 2000. So it's been yep. a long time coming, and the industry has changed quite a bit since then. But still, ton of fun. It's everything it should have been, even if it's not everything that the current state of the industry would have wanted.
Gotcha. So what about number three?
Number three I'd have to give to 8-Bit Armies, which... This one's an...
Wasn't that a White Stripes song? No, that was Seven Nation.
That was Seven
Army.
Nation.
Sorry, 8-Bit Army.
8-Bit Armies, which is one of those games that is shamelessly cashing in on the retro graphics trend. Absolutely shamelessly cashing in on it.
Is that a good thing?
It can be. It's getting to the point now to where it's being done to death.
Oh, yeah.
Where every 2-bit hack who can't make a 3D model is going, ooh, we'll go retro graphics and we'll sell double because of it. No, the market's flooded. Like if you do it and it works, it's great, but it's not an instant key to success anymore. This one's a real-time strategy game. It was made by Petroglyph. They're a little bit of a storied studio. A lot of the employees are ones who, when Electronic Arts bought Westwood, the makers mm-hmm. of Command & Conquer.
Yep.
A lot of the employees said, screw this, we're not moving to California. Left.
Wow.
Either joined or founded Petroglyph, who have continued to make games in the tradition of Command & Conquer. They, among the reviewers, they also have a bit of a reputation for being a little dated in their, I don't want to say schema, that's an SEO term, but in their, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't think of the word, and it's bugging me.
Schema's good enough, you know, because it's more wide-reaching than what we use it for. On
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And it is an absolute loving tribute to their most famous game, which was the Command & Conquer series. Mm-hmm. The feel is very similar from the UI design to the basic mechanics to the voiceovers to where certain sound effects are. It is an absolute loving tribute to their baby.
That's nice. I mean, retro is cool, but when it's done with respect, mm-hmm. it's great.
And they worked it all in to where the retro wasn't just a gimmick on top. It was completely stylistic.
Wow.
It was a solid stylistic choice on this one. Because the tanks are blocky and look like they're straight out of an Atari game. The helicopters look like they're made out of Legos. It's a neat little aesthetic.
You gotta love that. So what about number two?
Number two, War for the Overworld. You'll notice a trend here in that the last three in a row have been either remakes to or tributes to very old games. This one was actually a group of people who had never let go of Dungeon Keeper.
I even remember Dungeon Keeper, and I'm not what you would call a gamer. You know, again, I've had my moments.
You don't give yourself enough credit.
The most recent console I have is a PlayStation 2, and I just kind of leave it at that.
Oh, well, yeah, but there was that Christmas party the other year you were rocking.
So
these guys never gave it up.
More of the overworld.
They were an active modding community even until a couple of years ago, until a couple of them said, you know what, screw it, let's make a tribute game.
Wow.
And that's exactly what they did. It's an almost shot-for-shot copy of the premise, where you are, because you're underground, an underlord, as opposed to Overlord. Get it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But... And it is your job to carve out this big, complicated, trap-filled lair, attract creatures, make sure their needs are met, make sure they get paid, make sure they get fed, make sure they have a place to sleep, a place to train, make sure that the ones that hate each other's guts aren't destroying the place. And then defend against the goodly heroes coming from above, or even from rival underlords out to take what is wrongfully theirs.
Yep.
Or go on the warpath yourself and take what is wrongfully yours. And yes, I'm making bad puns there too. It's a condition. Where it really got interesting though, and where it really turned into a time suck rather than a nostalgia trip,
mm-hmm.
was that they took and put their own heavy spin on it in a big way. They managed to introduce tech trees, like out of strategy games,
mm-hmm.
to where no two games, even with the same build order, the same command sets, has to be the same. Because you have to, as you go through, you can choose to focus on offensive, or on defensive, or on... What was the third one? It was offense, defense, and...
Special teams. Sorry,
I think the third one was traps.
Okay.
But you could specialize in one, you could dabble in more than one, and it changed the flavor and the way that match was going to play for you. Just a really clever game by a really little studio. They did it, I believe they were a Kickstarter semi-success story,
because mm-hmm.
they didn't make a ton of money, but they made enough to where they could deliver on their promises, and they could get it to what they call early access now, which is paid betas, is really what it is. Here's half a game. We'll charge you half price for it. And as we finish it, you'll get the rest for free. Big problem with early access in the industry right now is that only a tiny, tiny fraction of developers actually do finish the games.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of scammers, all kinds of sleazebags out there right now who will fart out this half-finished game just enough to get it declared early access by Steam, just enough to make some money off of it, and then they never touch it again.
That's a shame.
So, people. The world would be great without people.
So, finally, number one.
Number one, and with our conversations in the office, you've seen this coming
mm-hmm.
from the depths. It is this grand naval campaign. I did the math last night. The map is about 40 miles by 40 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. So obviously, instead of your standard real-time strategy game where you're taking half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour 15, the quote-unquote par time on this one is 40 hours.
Wow.
And this one's really, really stood out to me. It's almost become an obsession. It's kind of scary. Because unlike the other strategy games, yeah, you start out with a crappy base and a crappy boat and some resources, and it's here. Build up your forces. Build up your base. Establish other bases.
It's all take about over that base, that base, that base. No trouble. Oh, isn't God. That what it is? Or am I totally off the mark with that? Sorry. I digress.
And the game does end when all their base are belong to you. But...
So it is all about that base. I was being facetious, but I actually...
You did go somewhere with it. But where it really, really stands out is that it's also an engineering game. It has... It's built with voxels, which is... Sometimes an advantage, sometimes it's not. It's a programming thing, a data structures thing, where imagine a Lego model
mm-hmm.
where the only piece you have position data for is one block. All of the others are stored relative to that block, not relative to the game world, if that makes any sense whatsoever to you. It's nice because you don't have to save the positional data for the 30,000 blocks that make up this gigantic battleship that I put together and is wildly impractical and took me like 20 hours of harvesting resources just to spawn into the game world. It's ridiculous. But if the engine's not built for it, if the video card isn't set up for it, like it can be a pretty big performance hit if it's not done right. But you're building these boats, and it's not like other strategy games where you're building a battleship from a list of items. You're building it block by block.
Wow.
You're building the engine piece by piece. You're building the weapons piece by piece so that they're exactly what you want. Like it's everything that Minecraft, especially some of the mods that add a whole bunch of machinery to it, mm-hmm. are. Except in this, your stuff actually works. And that's managed to grab me in ways that Minecraft and Terraria and Starbound of these other gather resources, build stuff games haven't. Because they do things.
Well, there you have it. There's Andy's top five for 2016, and you do realize that since I roped you into this year, you're going to have to do it again this time next year.
Of course.
So I just want to keep you on your game. Well, pun intended.
To keep you off balance, I do have an honorable mention.
Okay.
One that has consumed more time than any other this year, every year, for my life to date, and for the rest of my life.
It's got to be Pong.
It is not. It is 1982's E.T. Just kidding. However,
the landfill game.
You do not.
you cannot see this right now, but he has the Atari E.T. game.
I do indeed.
And this serves as a great segue into another podcast we're going to be doing here soon, where we're going to play the game with Andy. We're going to have him back on here, and I'm going to throw out some bizarre game facts, and we're going to see just how good of a gamer Andy Mall really, really is. Thanks for tuning in to the Mind Your Business podcast. Thank you, Andy, for coming on.
Hey, glad to finally be here.
It's awesome.
And if I can add one little note,
okay.
I am the ultimate gaming masochist, first owner. I didn't pick that up at a used shop. I've had that since the early 80s.
That E.T. is an original. Okay. More on that on another podcast here. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business. Doobity-doo-wop-wop, say what, yeah.